help somebody. You'll meet people that might become your co-founders. Yeah. These founders might become your investors.
Yeah. You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
So welcome to another episode of the Startup Chat. On this episode, we're actually going to talk about young people. And we could call them millennials, we can call them kids, we can call them children, but I'm talking about people, whether you're listening or not, that are sort of, and I can't even go for age anymore. Because the younger, young people are starting companies. So yeah. Let's just say it's anybody from 8 years old onwards up to like 25 or 30, right?
By the way, if you're 8 and you're listening to this, please send us an email.
Yeah, that's right.
Identify yourself.
That's right. You're probably not on Facebook, so we can't tell you to join the startup chat. And yeah, exactly.
Or have your parents call us. Do something. Let us know.
And this topic is personal for two reasons. And one is my co-founder. When we started our consulting business in 2003, he was getting into college and right out of high school. And he went to a lot of the SEO and marketing conferences, and he was the youngest person there. Mm. So I watched this person who I have first known since he was 11. We started our company when he was 17, 16, something like that. And I was around my early 20s. And so I watched this. And he's, for all intents and purposes, he's one of those young people and
nice.
Kind of a millennial because
nice.
He was born in like 85. Right? They say 81 onwards is millennial or 80 onwards. And I'm 81 and I don't identify with that. Not for any bad reasons. Just I don't think I think like millennials, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, the generation stuff's all fucked up.
Yeah.
Because we had X, Y, Z. I think it's AZ now or some shit.
I don't fucking know.
Anyways,
but one thing that I just realized, I was traveling over the last few weeks and the last thing I did was a workshop and the group that they put together were like all people that are still in college. And my entire advice was basically all like, here's everything that you are, all the things that were working up to this point that will stop working very soon. And it's going to fuck with your life. And it was basically just advice for young people too.
Awesome.
And I didn't realize it until
that you were
now,
giving advice
just,
for young people.
Yes.
Awesome. So it's very timely.
Yes.
So the second piece is, I re-met someone I met 2 years ago and I've met him a couple times and his name is Shahad Khan. He works at, NGX, the marketplace incubator. They just launched. James Currier and a bunch of those folks.
Okay.
They have awful branding because I can't remember their name.
Okay.
Anyways, but his name's Shahad Khan and he runs the incubator for them. And he said that I had given him advice over Facebook 2 years ago that he now would know what to do with. But at the time, and also I was very bad at giving advice. I think it might have been a little longer than 2 years ago. And he basically said it literally tore him apart, what the advice I gave him. And he didn't know if he should start his company as a result of that advice. And so I think I was ineffective, but it was the right advice for him. And I just kind of want to talk about like, in a way, I think I made a mistake there where I could have been more effective to him, right? So I've changed the way I give advice to anybody. But I think there's a specific thing about the younger generation that makes it so that the direct advice is actually not as effective.
Mm.
Right. So there's an approach and a way to think about it, especially if these founders are trying to create new things. Also, it's very easy to forget that they're actually younger. So they have a different experience and they have less experience in a lot of areas. So understanding that context and even what they're dealing with in the world, which is probably stuff you talk to these people about. Right. Like, for example, we couldn't bring computers into the school and into the classes when I was going to school. I don't know about you. Like the computers were not allowed.
Yes.
Not to mention we didn't have smartphones.
Smartphones
we barely had the flip phones.
Yeah.
Right? I had a Motorola 95C was my first like color phone, right? I mean, this is old school stuff. and now phones are allowed.
Yeah.
Computers are a norm.
Yeah.
Right? That whole context of what they do in school is different. And more importantly, the folks in my cohort of college, I graduated in 2003. I should have graduated in 2002. I stayed a little bit longer. But my cohort of folks, they were kind of at the tail end of, you know, iBanking jobs and going to med school and all that kind of stuff. Where now, yeah, there's people that do that. And we need that in the world. But there's a whole segment of people that can't go into banking anymore. Or iBanking or any of that or hedge funds or any of that stuff because a lot more people are trying to get into that from a quantity standpoint. But also those jobs are getting squeezed out, right? And there's not that many of them.
Right.
And so the kind of jobs that these folks that are in college today and even earlier are going to have in the future are much different than any of the jobs that, you know, the cohort of people who went and got jobs kind of got. I mean, in fact, a lot of my friends from college are actually lawyers. Like, I can name, like, probably 60% of them are lawyers, and I just went to Berkeley. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's a law, you know, there's a law school and stuff, but there's no reason they're lawyers except that that was the right track at the time. And so I think in the world today, you're going to find, you know, there's also interesting stats, like by 2020, they say 40% of people are going to be freelancing, not or you know, side jobs on top of their existing job, right? Things like that. So I think there's all these trends that are going to change the world, and the younger generation could probably use some of our advice on it, because I think, like, some of us actually respect change.
Yep.
Right.
All
right.
So yeah. So we're not gonna be. This is not gonna be like a bashing of like how.
Not one bit.
The older generation was better. Like, even just saying that seems weird.
Nobody's
so
better.
No. Yeah. So all that
in
doesn't
fact,
matter.
I think the younger generation is better. But yes. We can
who
talk
cares?
About it.
Right. Yeah, let's cares? Not. Let's yeah. not, let's not worry about that. But let's start with the advice piece, because this is fascinating. And in general, we have an episode. I think it was one of the earlier ones. Advice on advice.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that. One of the reasons. One of the things that I currently trying to learn most from you, actually. Is the way you give advice.
Yeah.
So one of the best things that are happening right now is that people put Heaton and me on an email based on listening to this podcast, and then they tell us their problems or their challenges, and they ask for advice.
Yeah.
And usually Heaton is the first to answer because he makes a point
not
of that. Not always, but most of the time.
Yeah.
And then also in specific, there's a number of emails that I've saved that I'm still marinating on. Where I'm literally just like, I know what I would have said.
Yeah.
Then I look at what you said and I just go, let me meditate on this answer.
Why is that? Tell me more.
Because you know, what I've learned is, well, I'm constantly trying to learn and evolve the way that I give
that.
Advice, right?
Yeah.
But I still am impatient with people.
Yeah.
So
that's a good one.
Right? So, and you are a lot more patient with people than I am, at least in email, right? So a lot of times when I'm like tempted to just go and be very blunt, very direct, and just basically give somebody a kick in the ass, you do the same thing in essence, but your presentation, the way you communicate, is much more thoughtful and you'll add like a question or a little twist to it that makes it a lot more useful to them.
Yeah.
And as I'm reading it, I contrast it virtually with what I would have said.
Yeah.
And I just go, oh, this shit is much better.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. I'm still going through trying to pick and choose what I can learn from you and what I like to adopt or not. But I definitely know that it's interesting, because I usually, with this very generic type of advice, like entrepreneurship and like business challenges, I never used to be like tag teaming in the sense that people ask me and somebody else.
They usually
just ask me, and then I just tell them what I would tell them.
You're moving on. Yeah.
So now I have like a little A-B testing where you say something to the same question that I. So I find also interesting that you say 2 years ago when I sucked at giving advice.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like that makes me go, I'm wondering your evolutionary process in this, but also being more specific, what was the advice you gave?
Yeah.
What was the question? What was the advice? And how would it be different today? And what does all that have to do with, like, young people?
I'm going to pull up the Facebook chats because I'm sure he won't mind. The key thing was, like, I think as you become experienced, whatever that means, which really just means you've done stuff.
Yeah.
And that takes time, right? You end up having, like, this weird I call it weird, but this weird intuition when you meet somebody and you're like, oh, I think I kind of know the answer for this person. Mm. And so, and I do that too. And now I suppress that in the beginning. Because having that right answer, even if you're right and you go for it, doesn't mean the person on the other end understands that answer, right? Or understands why you're giving it. So I try to be a lot more thoughtful in understanding my intuition so I can explain it to the other person.
Mm.
So it's more of understanding your gut, because all of us have gut feelings around stuff, right? Apparently Facebook Messenger is loading old messages. Oh, this is great. Okay. So this is 2011. So I was wrong. It was 4 years.
Yep.
I'm just going to go through the whole everything, because there's not that many.
All right.
So he's like, hey, you got a quick question. I'm like, I told him I was about to hit bed because it was past midnight. This was like June of 2011. I'd like to show you my startup. I have demo pictures. I said, okay, cool, whatever. And I told him to email me. I've emailed it to a few people in the Valley and they are impressed with it. First, red flag. He said, I've emailed it to a few people in the Valley. They are impressed with it. Oh, so you're emailing grin fuckers. Got it. So they just want to make you feel good. Got it.
Yes.
Great. So, you know, that's
also
good.
Also, you're asking for advice, but you're saying, hey, let me show you something, but let me influence you. Everybody loves it. just, you know, initial response is shut the fuck up and just send it to me.
And that to me is the same as like when you go talk to investors, you're like, yeah, they're going to fund me.
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't written the check. No, same shit, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, we already have money. Oh, yeah, do you have it in the bank? No, they committed.
So tip number one, if someone says good stuff to you, don't take that to heart.
Yes.
Take the bad stuff to heart and fix it. Yes. But the good stuff, fuck all that noise, right? Yeah. So then he says, can I email you? Give him my email, whatever. And then I got it. And I don't remember what it was because it's in my email. I'm not going to go there. And then I said, so this is a TaskRabbit clone. Okay. I'll just straight up.
Okay.
And then he said, not necessarily a clone. We have different standards. TaskRabbit hires runners, blah, 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 right? We offer tangible rewards to people who complete the task. Key, right? That's the key difference he believes. Because that was the main statement he said there.
Okay.
For some reason it's darker. Anyways, Messenger. And then I said, tough idea. And then I said, in my opinion, it's a marketplace and you'll run into a chicken or egg problem real fast, which is true. And I had some insight into TaskRabbit, but in general, that's the case with marketplaces, right? Oh, this was great. Well, not from where we see it. We've already had over 240 people asking to launch it as is. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean he just had a bunch of emails that he collected and all that? And
this
I didn't want to.
Landing page. Yeah. What is this?
And here's what I threw him. And this is where I got very. I think this is where the direct advice started, which was these days even having 10,000 people asking doesn't really mean much.
Oh, you crushed him.
Yes.
Crushed
That's
him.
Not okay. That wasn't nice. That's not what I would tell anyone anymore, right? People at SF are asking for us to launch there first, blah, 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 blah. And then he talked about some advantages, and I told him straight up. And when I do, like, I don't know why I do. When I do asterisks on words, mm-hmm. that really means I'm trying to emphasize them, right? So I said, those aren't real, in asterisks, advantages. And then he did the bold on the real to fuck with me. Okay. Because you can't do the bold, so you the B.
Yeah, B.
Fucking guy. Anyway, Shahad. He's sharp. and then he came up with another advantage, and I told him, that's not a real advantage. And then I started sending him links. Right? So then he's all, in other words, you want me to put real advantages in our platform? And then he's like, TaskRabbit doesn't have any real advantages. So now he's getting defensive.
Yeah.
Right? And
the entire time he's being defensive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's asking for advice, but then he's fighting you on your advice and he's telling you how awesome everything is, right? So he's fighting. He's being defensive the entire time as I read it.
And then I said no to that because I was like, no, that's not true. I want you to get real and stop smoking your own crack. I also don't say that anymore to people, but I used to. And then he said, all right, thanks for your time. And
basically, fuck off. Fuck you.
And I knew he said that. Yeah. So then I'm like, apologies if I made you mad. Wasn't my goal. Just trying to tell you what most people want. Good luck.
Yeah.
Done, right? Like, basically done.
Yeah.
And then after that, I hadn't heard from him till literally a week ago. And then I met with him.
Nice. Okay, so what are we learning from this?
I fucked up. But that's how most people give advice if they want to give you good advice, which is they're very direct and sort of abrasive.
Yeah, because there's two types, right? There's the people that don't give any real advice, right? The people that are just like as safe as possible. Yeah. I don't want to rattle the cage.
And those are the people that he's referring to when he said, hey, people think this is a great idea.
Everybody loves it.
Right, yeah.
Which is the type of people that you and I both ran into as entrepreneurs too much that and then at some point we decided we're not going to be one of these fucking people. Yeah. We're going to be giving real advice in the sense of telling people what we think.
That's right.
All right. So, but now maybe this is swinging, the pendulum is swinging too much in the other direction where the way you give that advice is stopping the person from taking it or being able to do something with it.
And here's the thing. He's into like three companies or three experiences or four experiences later now. This is 4 years later, right? Yeah. There's at least three or four he's had, I believe. And he still came to me and said, hey, you were right. He still remembers this and said, you were right. I just didn't know what to do with that, right? And which means that I was not effective, right? And if I had given him different advice, I might have been actually able to watch his journey. But instead, I shut him down. And I wasn't trying to do that, right? I even said at the end, I'm just trying to give you shit that people won't tell you because, like, that's what I do, right? So now, if someone came to me with their little fragile idea like that, I'd probably actually break down just basic business fundamentals because everyone can understand those, right? And so instead of saying, oh, I emailed a bunch of people and they said it was a great idea or whatever, I'll be like, okay, well, do you have any activity on your platform? Because what you really need is customers and users to love it. So let's talk about how you're going to get that.
Yeah.
And then it would open up a different discussion that was more positive for him.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, it's great that these Valley people like it. Fine. That's fine. Right? Good. But – Let's go talk about how you're going to get people and flow and customers and break that down. And then I bet I would have explained the same stuff, like the chicken or egg, but he would have understood it in his context. And he would have understood it in understanding why I think this is a hard opportunity to attack, which is really how I felt. And I would have told him why. So I didn't bother to explain all that. Instead, I'm like, oh, no, this is shit. That's basically what he heard.
Yeah.
But that's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah. All right, but this is not a millennium problem. This is just a generic problem that super direct or blunt to people, right?
What's interesting is this is definitely a common problem with founders. But the problem is more so they have an idea. It's related to another idea. But they've convinced themselves that their idea is the idea. And so I think someone who's less experienced starting companies will do that. And that's probably one of the most common things I see, which is like, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. Like just convincing yourself it's a good idea, because that's what it takes sometimes, most of the time, to even start something.
Yeah.
It's like just being convinced it's a good idea, regardless of anyone's feedback. But that should just get you motivated to take a step instead of make you believe that you're right.
Right.
Right. So that would be the kind of advice there. And instead, what I did there is I gave him the conclusion he was going to figure out in 3 to 6 months. Gave it to him too fast and too harsh, right? And I should have actually been like, hey, like, and this is something I learned from you, which is you're always focused on them taking a next step, right? I wasn't that good at that. And I think I've learned a lot of that from you, which is I would have got him to take a next step. Okay, here's what we understand. Do you agree? And then here's the thing you can do next to go focus on that. Right. And the easy tactic I use now, which is much different than even like the last episode when we talked about advice, and it's not like it's just more of an understanding of what I'm doing, is like I just go try to figure out, again, business fundamentals, and then go back to, okay, so your business won't work unless you can figure this out. So let's go focus on that first and then give them a task to focus on that. Right. And then over time, people learn how to do that stuff themselves. Right. But with enough input from me and a feedback loop, give them 3 or 4 iterations like that. And they're kind of off to the races most of the time. And that's more effective than shutting someone down like this.
Right. Because and this does very much speak to kind of more experienced, less experienced, older, younger type of dynamics where you give people the end result of a process and a framework that they're lacking. Hence, even if they take you by your word, they're really not learning anything.
Yeah.
Like, because they don't get how you arrived at that.
No.
Like, not at all. They're just like, everybody, like 200 people tell me I'm fucking awesome, and you're saying that's worthless. I don't even fucking understand what you're talking about. Right? I don't know how to, what the fuck to do with this, right?
Yeah.
So, because they
have. That was the shock and awe approach. That's what I call that. Doesn't work.
Yeah. This is a lot of things are running through my mind as I'm thinking about this. Because another workshop that I gave in Berlin 2 weeks ago, I was pretty harsh with somebody's email template. So they show me their sales email and I just look at it and I just go, oh my God, this is so horrible. Like, this is a piece of shit. All right. So I get why you did this. Then we went through it step by step. Why is the subject line the way it is? What are the numbers that you have? Like, at least one thing I've learned to do is I'll go, I think this sucks, but let me ask you, what is the real world doing here? Like, if you're getting amazing open rates, or if you're getting great replies, if the results are great, then fuck my opinion. Like, who cares, right? This is just my opinion, but I'm curious about the results. But we would go down and break down, like, why I thought something was not effective and what I would do to change that, how I would think about doing it differently. But in many ways, in my world, the lazy way of thinking, and this is where I have to challenge myself, is that I go, well, I just tell them how I think, and I'll teach them what to do better, and it's up to them to take it or not take it, and if they're offended, that's their problem, because I don't have the time to invest in making them feel great about it. That's not why I'm here for, right? But I recognize that that's also lazy, because what I do care about a lot is helping others.
Yeah, being effective.
Being effective, right? So if I spend all this time with you and then you leave and you can just go fuck this guy, then it's not that you're an idiot, it's that I was an idiot as well. And like, why did we spend all this time together? This, I'm super ineffective, right?
Yeah.
So I'm taking a, you know, it's another round of inventory and trying to change things around as I'm looking and reflecting on them. But I remember, like, I will teach people why usually I think the way I think. And we do think very much in frameworks a lot of times. That's why we have fun talking about things. But I'll come out of the gate with very harsh, Like, even 10,000 people doesn't mean anything. That sounds like something I could have said. But for somebody that doesn't know what that means, it just feels hurtful, right? It just feels like a punch in the gut. And then while they're grasping for air, you know, when you're trying to teach them something during that period, it's not really effective.
So I found that that approach works with less people than a better approach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just because some people understand the harsh feedback is what they want.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that's interesting is I stopped saying that what they did sucks. Right? And the reversal I have done is when I think something sucks, because I think if I take the mindset of this sucks, it helps me help figure out how to make it better. But that doesn't mean I need to tell them that.
Yeah.
Just not because I'm trying to lie to them, but because it's ineffective. Right. So if you shock and awe them at first and tell them, oh, fuck, that sucks, this blows, they might already know that.
Right.
You know, that's something that's, you know, kind of weird. Or they might not know that. And you don't know whether they know it or not just by looking at something and saying that's shit. Right. Yeah. Just like you said with data. Right. So instead, what I would say is we can make this better. If you hear me say that, it's basically shit. Yeah,
we can make this better.
And if I give you a compliment, that means it's not shit.
Yeah.
Right? But we can make this better. That's when you know I think it's pretty fucking bad.
All
right. Right? But that's my generic line for it. But just because we can make this better is motivating. We can make this better starts the conversation. While this sucks doesn't start anything.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well, why do you think it sucks?
Yeah.
Well, so then instead it's like, we can make this better. Here's why I think we can make it better. And here's how we're going to make it better. And I always use the word we, by the way.
Mm. Yeah. You don't want this to be a you against me or I'm the expert and you're like, we're collaborating right now. We're working together.
It's not you can make it better. It's not I can help you make it better. So literally, we're going to make this better right now.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some other things with like younger people.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not enough content on that yet.
Yes, not yet.
All of it's applicable. Yeah.
It's all been like advice, although I think it's relevant. But
so let's talk about patterns for younger people.
Yes.
And get into a non-PC area here.
Yeah.
Right. So like I think, you know, these young people have, if you just think about what they've grown up with, that'll probably give us better context. So they've grown up in an environment where there's probably way more uncertainty. Many of them also saw 9/11 right in front of them when they were very young, and that probably shaped them to a great extent, right? Then they saw everything the government has done as a result of that around tightening things up and airplanes and all that stuff. They also got to grow up with mobile and Snapchat and all these things that are very ADD-inducing.
Mm.
So this is the mindset that young people have, which is, you know, the world is their oyster. And there are a lot of opportunities and there are a lot of options. At the same time, they always want more. And I think they're a very experiential sort of generation in general, which means like experiences are actually what they crave because even the phone is all about experiences for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that
but like, tell me where I'm wrong or tell me how you think about it, but let's define that really quickly.
Yeah. So I think that you're right with many of these things as like trends. I think that one of the core things is that we are shifting. I think we are shifting from kind of from an industrial age to an information age. We've been talking about this since we've been growing up, but I don't think it manifested itself as much as it does today in terms of people living in a global economy. Global politically, if you think about it, like it used to be that every country and every economy was much more of an island. That we're influencing each other, but much more
China
of an island.
China gets messed up right? The stock market.
Everything, we're all fucked up, right? Yeah. At this point, like there's a banking crisis somewhere and all banks around the globe are in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot more interconnectedness. There's a lot more information. I think the speed of change is this is really a generation that goes through things changing really quickly all the time.
You have to watch it.
Which is probably to them, it's normal that things always change.
That's right.
It's kind of part of their upbringing. Yeah.
That's good. It's a good mindset.
It is a good mindset. I do think so. At the same time, I think that the ADD-ness that comes with it, the maybe like constant background noise of being overwhelmed might also be something where it's like there's always too many things, too many options, too much stuff. And I'm used to always – I think that that this generation is less and less comfortable with quiet. Or comfortable with like a single with focus, like I'm just doing one thing. Yeah. I'm not doing one thing while listening to music, while playing with my phone, while watching a movie, while doing something on the internet. Like they always have like seven different channels of things going on. So when it comes down to one or even none, it creates discomfort because they're not used to it. So I think that there's some challenges that comes to.
It's also short and bursty.
Oh yeah,
mobile phones are short and bursty. You go in, you get out.
Yeah.
And then you're back again. Right? Like 7 times a day. Like there's an app. Someone was telling me a stat. Be like, people use our app 7 times a day. I'm like, holy shit. And this is an app towards younger generations. I'm like, that's actually quite a bit.
That's crazy. Right? And
they only use it for 5 minutes each time, barely.
So with that, I think there comes that there's a lot more width and like just a really wide range of things that the younger people are involved with and interacted with. But there's a lot less time to go really deep and go really in depth with things. I don't know. I mean, we're also talking about a specific group of young people, right? Sure, so not all young people are equal, right? Yeah. So we're talking about young people where entrepreneurship or business or startups might be something on the radar, or something they aspire to, something that they read about, something they're curious about. And this group of people is usually, you know, so far has usually been pretty successful in life because of a number of reasons. So we're talking about kind of high potential, very smart, you know,
high, very motivated,
very motivated.
Yeah.
Also this generation, I think one cool thing is that this kind of new younger generation, of people are like it's distinctly not the 80s capitalism anymore in the sense of like, let me get the most amount of Ferraris and like the most amount of yachts. And no, this generation is kind of like a nice balance between the 60s, let's peace and flower power, and like the 80s of like, fuck everybody, I just need a fast car and a yacht. Right. Yeah. They're in the kind of the social capitalism, right? Yeah. Like, I want to do something I love. I want to do something that's good for the world, and I want to do good for myself.
I want experiences.
I want experiences. Yes, I want to experience the world. I want to travel. I want to meet people.
We're seeing
I want to
a lot
do
more
shit.
Of that now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than they used to. So that all is interesting. I think that there are still some fundamental challenges. So one challenge that I was talking about to these younger kids at the workshop was that, you know, there's this startup school on YouTube. There's these videos that YC does going to Stanford, right?
Totally.
And one of the courses, you can look it up if you just type in Peter Thiel and then startup school. You should
find
it.
The one on monopolies and stuff.
Yes.
Competition.
But one of the interesting things that he says at the beginning is that he basically just tells all these kids that are in school there, he's like, so all of you are just hyper-intelligent, right? For one reason or another, you just were way above average.
Yeah.
So for your entire life, you in every room you went with other children, you had machine guns and they just had sticks, right? So it was super easy for you to stand out and like be a lot better than everybody.
Yeah.
Now, as you progress in life, you're getting into smaller and smaller rooms where everybody will have machine guns. So things will shift. And I love that. I love that.
That's
because
great.
Because that's something I remember experiencing. And I see young people that are super talented struggle with so much. The people that I mentor and that I have relationships with is that they always were the youngest person.
Yeah.
They always were the youngest person that did this. The youngest person that did that.
Yeah.
They always were like the super talented kid. Yeah.
That shit ends though.
And that shit ends. It ends because you've progressed enough that now you're in an environment, in a company, in an ecosystem where you compete with all the people that have the same thing and people that are better and people that are more experienced. And all of a sudden, that alone, being super smart and young, is not enough.
So the biggest tip you can give them on that is don't let that shit get to your head.
Yes.
You're not always going to be instantly the best just because you're in the room.
Yeah, and you need to let go of that part of an attached identity because it can't last. No. Like it's, and I remember being stressed when I was 24 and I was like, I'm not the youngest anymore. I'm not the fastest. I've lost that.
Yeah.
And I started creating pressure for myself of being like, will I make it in life? Can I create the things that I want? Am I too old already?
Yeah.
All that shit is just coming from that false like attachment to the idea of that
being
there's
young.
Being young is so important. Being the youngest of everybody is something that you should like feed your ego with. So you just, if you've done really well, now if you continue to doing well, that will leave you in your life and you don't be attached to it, right? Just let go of that, right? And that's kind of the starting point, but it can't be something that's with you all the time.
In fact, like when I hear young people say, oh, I'm young, I shut them down right away. That's actually when I actually am pretty aggressive. Mm. I'm like, hey, you should stop that attitude because it doesn't matter that you're young. I don't hold you to a different standard than I hold Steli to.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Same standard. Yeah. Right. And that's what you should be held to. You shouldn't get any excuses either because you're young. Right. I'm not saying they all say that, but like behind it is I'm young, so I have an excuse.
Yes. And also I think that both sides, like I think also people that are older than people, they are contributing to this problem because they constantly tell these people, what? You have this startup that doesn't do anything, but you're 17? Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're 17. I didn't do anything. And they just
cares?
Who cares, right?
The world is different. We're going to see 8-year-olds do stuff. Yes. I'm sure we already do, right? Yes. It's all good.
Yes. Right? So like both the adults or the older people have to stop being so fucking impressed by you being so young, because that feeds your ego and makes you go, I want to keep hearing this and I guess I'm special. And that creates a false comfort that then later and very soon it's going to be gone and you're going to struggle with it and be like, wait a second, why is not everybody impressed by my age?
It's almost like people were throwing roses at you. Yes. And then all of a sudden they're throwing rocks at you. Yes. And you have no idea why. What happened? I used to get the roses. Same people. Now I get rocks.
Yeah. They're like, right? What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, no, you never had roses.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is like going through school, right? So I had, we had a very young, very ambitious, very smart and talented intern over the summer. Yes. And she, you know, she used to be like a wunderkind karate kid, like, doing all kinds of competitions and everything. And I remember the first few weeks with us at Close.io, she really struggled. And eventually I went on a walk with her and she kind of like poured out her frustration and all that.
You know what? That's one thing I love about young people. They wear that shit.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. You ask them, hey, what sucks? They'll be like, oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what sucks. Everything.
And older folks, we're more stoic, man. You ask me what sucks, I'll be like, nah, dude, it's all good.
Yeah.
They'll tell you everything. It's awesome. But anyways, keep going.
So she pours out her frustrations, and then eventually we got to the core of the issue. And the core of the issue was that, I told her, listen, like, up to this point in life, you were always participating in games that had very clear rules. They taught you the game. They taught you the rules. And then you just figure out a way to excel in it. You just play that game really, really fucking well and rise to the top.
Congratulations.
Yes, you're good at that. Like, it's awesome. That was all that was expected from you up to this point. Right. Now, you're joining a startup. We are not playing a fucking game.
No.
We're trying to invent a fucking game. That's so while you're trying to figure out how to play the game, what are the rules? How can I rise to the top?
No rules, no games, there's no fucking rising.
Nothing, right? We're all busy trying to build the game, right? So you just need to let go. It's a totally different framework that we're applying here.
Yeah.
So you can't – if you are wasting all your – if you're looking for the rules and the game dynamics and how to play this to really rise to the top, all you do is you waste and destroy value.
Yeah.
And you're stressing the fuck out of you, right?
Because probably people around you.
Yes. So let go of all of that shit. Yeah. Nobody here will rise to the top. We're like a super tiny team.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is figure shit out.
Yeah.
So join in figuring shit out. That's the game. But don't try to win anything.
No.
And that made a huge shift in her attitude and her approach. And you could see how she started enjoying it more and more and more and kind of fell in love with that process.
She realized she's making the game. She's not in the game.
In the game. Yeah. But that's another thing where I think a lot of time, for most of your life, if you're young, you went through school. You went through all these different things that you were doing.
It was a game.
It was games.
And it was someone else set it up.
Yes.
Even school's a game with the grades and everything.
School's a game. Yeah. The extracurricular activities, whatever it is. Yeah. Whatever it is you do, were all clear games where there was a lot of time spent up front teaching you, this is the game, these are the rules, this is how you play it. Look, this is the person that's best at playing it. This is the person that's second best.
Yeah.
There's rankings and everything. And then you figure out a way to play it really well.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you're thinking about entrepreneurship and all that, you're probably talented and ambitious, so you're in that category.
Yeah.
But life isn't fucking school, and life isn't a fucking game. No. It's not. There's not clearly defined rules.
No.
There's not ranking lists and everything. Life is a lot more ambiguous. It's a lot more about figuring out what kind of life you want to live and how you're going to live it than like winning at life necessarily.
Right.
So that's a framework shift that's so dramatic. And also it comes with nobody instructing you that, sorry, now the way you need to think is totally different. So I think it's an important thing for younger people to hear and to be aware of, because if you're stuck in that old framework, you might waste a lot of years and create a lot of fucking stress for yourself without getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to play a game that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not even a game anymore.
It's not a game.
You get to make it. You make the rules and, you know, other people abide by them and stuff like that. So I really like that way of thinking. One thing I would say is all companies are different. So it could be that if you're in that game mentality, this might not have been the best company for her, because there are companies that might operate like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so larger companies or mid-stage companies, they can bring in people like this and actually grow them with a game-like mentality because they have a lot more structure.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're really either going to do your own startup or work at a very early stage startup, like under 100 people, under 50 people, whatever way you want to think about it, then yeah, the shift has to be in this is not a game. You get to make the game and you make the rules. And if you're trying to follow by any rules, startups have no rules.
Yes, that's and that's a core part. And you know, again, of course, you can leave school and go to a large corporate environment where this type of behavior is still rewarded. It works in the system, right? Yeah. But if you are like, I'm going to start my own startup, if I want to join something really early on, you need to realize that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And also, and now that we talk about this and I think about this, it also explains, I think, a lot of like younger founders thinking about what it means to be successful in probably ways that are totally backwards, in the sense that we're looking at, let's raise money, let's get accepted by an incubator, let's raise millions of money from some VC firm, let's get some write-up in the press. They're looking at these things that follow very clear, like this would be...
Or they're like, let's go do what this other startup does.
Oh, yeah.
Or what my friend does in their business and whatever. And I've seen that a lot. And I've had to break that down and be like, wait, you have unique advantages. If you're just copying what someone else is doing, whether it's in your market or not, it's just not going to work for you. Like I had one friend, good friend, millennial friend, say, I want to, you know, I'm going to have, I'm going to be like Virgin. Virgin this, Virgin that. He actually said Richard Branson, and he met him and everything. And I'm like, guy, but like, you know, and then I literally had to shit on Virgin a little bit, but that's okay because it just was good in context. But at the end of the day, I had explained to him that like, hey, man, this little piece of thing you're doing that is might not be this conglomerate like Virgin is probably the right place to start because you have these advantages around that. And he's actually wrapped his head around it, but I had to do that because the only framework he had was – I like that business over there. I like what that billionaire person has achieved. I think I can build a business like that. And honestly, I wouldn't tell you no, but I would just tell you that like, he didn't start like that.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'd go show you his story, which you might have already read, but you forgot he didn't start like that. So why would you start like that?
Yeah. Right? Start with a conglomerate. First step, incorporate 40 different businesses in, you know, 30 different countries. Yes. Second step, start, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Yeah. But I think that's a great point. Is like people, again, what do you do? You're thinking about startups and entrepreneurship as this clearly defined framework where if you follow somebody else's footsteps, you're going to succeed. And, you know, Heaton could not be shaking his head any heavier without injury, right?
It's the least formulaic thing. Yes. Creating a new business, creating anything new is least formulaic. That's like saying, here's a canvas. You're an artist. Go paint. And paint the thing, the Mona Lisa. Because you could probably do that. You could figure it out. But like, it's not going to be good in the beginning.
Yeah.
You're ripping someone else's thing.
Yeah.
And you don't even know if there's any market for it.
Yeah.
Right? We don't need more Mona Lisas.
Yeah.
Right? We need something else.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's a beautiful comparison. Because the artist comparison, there are rules to this shit. There are things that you can learn to improve the craft of, you know, painting. There's things that you can learn.
Paintbrushes, oil, water,
everything.
You can go for days.
But you can't just be Picasso.
That's right.
Like, you just can't. You can't do what he did and then you are him.
Yeah.
You can't,
right?
You have to be your own person. You have to create your own art.
And that's not to say that inspiration is bad.
Oh,
it's just to say that, like, you have to account for the fact that you are unique. In fact, that's probably where I'd start. If I was talking to a younger person and I heard a lot of these things, I'd be like, look, like first, you're unique, right? There's nobody that would argue with me on that, especially the younger generation, because they do believe they're unique and they're right, right? But they need to go take that to heart and use their unique advantages, their unique approach to life and whatever. So I think that for your intern, that analogy was amazing. So anyone that's been in highly competitive environments with structure, that they need that conversation.
Right.
But if you have never done sports or anything and yet you want to start a company, then your framework might be different.
Yeah.
Right? Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
And so my tip is like, whether you're trying to help younger folks, working with younger folks, you know, whatever, meeting younger folks or wanting to help a relative or something, I think it's really important to just get all their context, figure out what they've done, and then try to have a very customized approach to how you give them advice. And yes, it's going to take more work. In fact, those are the folks that I think take a lot more work because they just have less experience and they might not know themselves, right? So I ask questions like, well, when have you actually done anything? I don't care if it's work or life or whatever, where you've just been super excited and happy, right? And it's not about passion or anything. It's just like I use that as a kernel to get them motivated to think and then get them to think about the right thing. So my tip would just be like, try to understand them more and spend more time with them. Maybe you should have had that walk before she even started.
Right.
And maybe you couldn't have understood.
Yeah.
But at this point, you probably now would have walked with those people way earlier, set expectations, and figure out what's the way to help them succeed.
Right.
So that's a beautiful tip. So I'll give a tip I've given before.
Sure.
My advice for younger people is, especially if you're thinking about entrepreneurship, if you're flirting with that idea, well, number one is, you know, you might start yourself immediately, and that's cool. That's what I did. But you also might just find somebody that's a few steps ahead. Maybe they have a startup. Maybe it's still in the early days, and you just join them and trying to support them.
If you're 15 and they're 18,
there you go.
You might want to go join them and work with them and see what's up.
Yeah.
Right? Just learn what it's all about. Even if you don't like it or anything, like those people or whatever, like they're a couple steps ahead.
Right.
Joining them, even, and I don't mean like it. I mean, even if you want to start your own thing, it can be valuable even to do some free work for them.
Yeah.
It can be insanely valuable for you to be in that environment, help somebody. You'll meet people that might become your co-founders. Yeah. These founders might become your investors. Yeah. But you also, you're going to be able, it's kind of a step in between from like, I don't know anything about this to my entire life depends on this and revolves around this. It's a sidestep of like, let me spend a year like as an apprentice basically and help in this environment learn more about it and learn also more about myself so I know better how to become that founder that I want to be or that do that startup that I want to have. And that relates back to, you know, you want to get inspiration from people that are 10 steps ahead of you, the you know, the Richard Bransons of the world. Those are super inspiring, but you want to get advice from people that are maybe just one or two steps ahead of you because they will have the most relevant, in context, most timely, most fresh advice for you. So somebody, if you're 17, you want to start something and go and find the 19-year-old that has and get some advice from them versus meeting with the 50-year-old, you know, super experienced business dude in your town. Because that person can be inspiration for you, but some of the advice, so most of the advice probably was not going to be that relevant.
That's right.
All right, that wraps it up. And just because we love people that are young so much, this was one of the longest episodes we've done.
Was it? All
this
right,
is
great.
A 40-minute episode.
Wow.
Holy shit. This is what happens when Heaton gets so excited he doesn't look at the time anymore. And he's like,
we stopped doing that.
There you go. All right. Make sure to, no matter how young you are, if you can, go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. Join the Facebook group. Yeah, we'll hear you next week, guys.
All right, see ya.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.